Welcome to What's the 211 podcast, where we provide you with information about resources and programs in your community. 211 Maryland is a health and human service line for anyone seeking help for themselves or someone else. You can dial 211 if you need help with food, rent, or other services. Text your zip code to 898-211 or visit our website at www.211md.org. If you or someone is in a mental health crisis or needs help with substance abuse, dial 211 and press 1 to immediately be connected with someone.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to What's the 211 podcast, where we share information about information and resources that are going on in your community. So today we have our special guest joining us today, Adrienne Bridenstine, Vice President, Policy and Communications, and Stacey Jefferson, Director of Policy and Stakeholder Engagement at Behavioral Health Systems Baltimore. Hello, ladies. How are you?
We're good. Thanks for having us.
Good. Definitely thanks for joining us. We appreciate you all being a part. So just wanted to get in with a couple of questions and really jump right in. So can you just tell us a little bit about Behavioral Health Systems of Baltimore and really the role that it's playing in the city?
Sure. So for those who don't know us, Behavioral Health System Baltimore is a nonprofit that serves as the local behavioral health authority for Baltimore City. So in this role, we support a full range of prevention, early intervention, treatment and rehabilitation, and recovery supports for the city of Baltimore. Part of our role is also to promote access to the full range of mental health and substance use services. And we do this promoting access work through a variety of different partnerships with system advocates, with system stakeholders, including, you know, the Baltimore City Mayor's Office, law enforcement systems, the school partners, but also at a grassroots level with our community engagement work. Another important part of our role is advocacy. We know that if we are going to promote access to the system of care and high quality mental health and substance use services, that advocacy at the state level and also at the local level is core to our work. And it's core to promoting our values of collaboration and equity, for example. So that's another big part of what we do.
Yeah, so it sounds like a lot of the work is really around collaboration, coordination, bringing folks together within the city with a focus on mental health. And so there's a lot of community involvement as well.
Yes. And Stacey could talk a lot about what our community engagement work is.
Yes. So we definitely have expanded over the past year and a half our community engagement work. We go out into the community and share information about resources, but we also talk to communities about what services and things they would like to see. They also help to inform where we go as far as system changes as well. And so we really have tried to bring in the community and engage with the community to get a better understanding of what the community is looking for as far as continuing to provide services for our emotional health and wellness.
Okay. And so just for audience purposes, we're going to use some acronyms here, BHSB, to really describe Baltimore, Behavioral Health Systems of Baltimore. But we know that you all are really extremely active in advocating for policies really to address mental health. You know, last year, 2021 priorities focused on, strengthening and expanding behavioral health crisis services, but also increasing school behavioral health supports. Why was this important to the organization?
So those particular policies were really important as, again, crisis is really an access point to the system. And it also, as we know, is really important as far as our equity work as well. And as much as we realize that we do have services in the city, we want to make sure that people are accessing them immediately when they need them. And so our crisis advocacy work was important to that, but then also our work as far as school behavioral health services, because that's another access point, especially for our youth and our families. And so we wanted to make sure that those services continue to be available, but are also expanded and accessible to everyone who is, again, in the school system and be able to access that service.
Yeah, I'm not sure, if you maybe hear this a lot, but with the school systems, do you tend to see, or from the advocates that you work with, that behavioral health within the school systems is more acceptable with the stigma now? Do you see more students trying to have access or better access for students within the school system?
So I'll say that there has been a lot of talk, particularly with COVID, recognizing the importance of these services for youth and ensuring that they have access to it, realizing a lot of the things out of COVID that you have been experiencing, such as isolation and, you know, just really caring about their emotional health during this time. And so we have seen that people are more willing to have those conversations, but then also recognizing how important it is that we ensure that those services are available in schools.
Okay, and so that's definitely good. And we know that you all provide a lot of community support and training for other nonprofits and organizations. But can you share a little more about what your Maryland Harm Reduction Training Institute is and Be More Power?
Sure. So that's part of our larger harm reduction work that we do at BHSB. We are, again, really committed to that work. And so Be More Power and both our Maryland Harm Reduction Training Institute represent our outreach and training portion of our harm reduction work. And so Be More Power is a grassroots harm reduction group. They provide street outreach resources and naloxone information to the community. And then we have the Maryland Harm Reduction Training Institute that really aims to develop the Maryland harm reduction workforce and support programs and providing, making sure that they're providing optimal services for people who use drugs. And they really do this through like technical assistance and training, particularly for like various audiences, like people who use drugs, overdose response programs, and syringe service programs throughout the state.
Okay, and who can sort of benefit from these this technical training?
Again, a lot of these trainings are for people who are providing services for persons who use drugs. And so that's really who can benefit a lot from it.
Okay. And so I read on your site that, you know, some stats around behavioral health, which was, you know, really alarming. You know, 1 in 5 people have a mental illness and 1 in 10 people have a substance use disorder. So we know that, you know, BHSB is charged with managing the system of care in the city. Like how have you all seen the need for behavioral health services evolve? And really, are there still gaps with some of the work that's going on?
Yeah, you know, the statistics show, I think, at least for me, how mental health and substance use is really something that affects everyone in our community. We see it in our communities, we see it in our own families, we see it with our other loved ones. In terms of need, the public behavioral health system in Baltimore serves over 78,000 individuals annually. We are the largest share of the public behavioral health system for the state of Maryland, roughly around 35% of that larger or statewide public behavioral health system. I tend to think in Maryland that we do have a good public behavioral health system in terms of there is a broad array of services available to people. We talked about this earlier, right? We have prevention, early intervention, treatment, recovery, support services. Our role is really trying to promote access, but we also recognize that there are some gaps within our system of care. One of the things that BHSB supported Baltimore City on was doing a gaps analysis a couple years ago. In 2019, we released a gaps analysis of the public behavioral health system that provided 38 recommendations for how we could better, you know, improve the public behavioral health system in Baltimore. This gaps analysis is actually a really helpful tool that the city and BHSB and the police department are using to help prioritize how they approach addressing some of the behavioral health findings in the Baltimore City consent decree. One of the areas that we are prioritizing is improving and enhancing behavioral health crisis services. We're also looking at expanding access to peer support, and the city is looking at how they can also expand access to safe, affordable housing. But we know we need more peer support. We know we need more recovery, wellness and recovery centers, because they are, again, at a grassroots level and access point. They're also a place that we know many people go to when they are experiencing distress or some kind of crisis. So when we think about gaps in our service system, those are behavioral health crisis services and our peer support services are kind of the two big ones that we prioritize and think that we prioritize and that we put our advocacy behind that, but also try to bring in more resources to support those services.
Okay. Yeah. And speaking of resources and really helping to coordinate and fill those gaps, you know, back in November 2020, we learned about the GBRICS partnership, you know, which is really an innovative partnership that will hopefully transform how, you know, mental health services are provided. Can you talk a little bit about that GBRICS project, what that is, and sort of some goals with that in Central Maryland?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because that is a really exciting project that we are looking at to help address some of those gaps within the behavioral health crisis services system. So GBRICS stands for Greater Baltimore Regional Integrated Crisis System Partnership, and it's a public-private partnership between 17 hospitals and Behavioral Health System Baltimore. The goal of this partnership is to reduce unnecessary ED use and law enforcement interaction for people who are experiencing crisis. Over the course of 5 years, we will invest $45 million in behavioral health infrastructure and certain services in Baltimore City, Baltimore County, Carroll County, and Howard County. So this project takes us a little outside of our traditional jurisdictional roles in that we are partnering with three other jurisdictions to expand access to these types of services.
Interesting. That's really interesting. And so, you know, bringing all these entities together sort of around sort of a common goal, did you find that easier to do because it's sort of that common goal, or was it more sort of, you know, mental health is different in each jurisdiction that you go?
For this particular project, there was a lot of buy-in early on. I think a lot of people recognized that there's a need for behavioral health crisis services. Like Stacy mentioned earlier, the behavioral health crisis system is one of the largest access points to that broader system of care. So, you know, when we were initially approaching this project, it had a lot of interest because there's a lot of need to build out these services and there's a lot of gaps across the four jurisdictions and across the state. There's a lot of attention on behavioral health crisis services right now for a variety of reasons, right? There's the ongoing COVID pandemic that has placed more pressure on our communities and increased the need for services. There's all this work to look how we can redirect resources and redirect police resources away from involving them in addressing crisis. So there's a lot of attention on this issue right now that's good attention. And it's finally the attention I think it deserves, a lot of momentum.
Yeah, that's good. Definitely looking forward to it, you know, getting off the ground. So, you know, you mentioned COVID earlier. And so, we witnessed several traumatic events this past year, you know, on the news, especially, you know, since the COVID numbers are going up again, unfortunately. Has the demand for services really increased in specific communities within the city, or, you know, with the demand on your organizations reaching out to say, hey, we need more help? Like, what else can you do for us?
Mm-hmm. We have seen an increase. So we've seen a couple of things. We've seen an increase in the number of calls that come to the city's 24/7 Here to Help hotline. There's been an over 100% increase since April of last year, and the call volume has remained relatively high. So we know more people are calling and calling our hotline with hopes of accessing services. So that's one kind of data point that we use that shows us that there's a need and an increased need. We also know that, you know, our providers are seeing people coming in with more acute needs. Again, some of this is because of the social isolation and the loss and grief that our community at large has experienced as a result of COVID. And also in Baltimore City, we know that violence and systemic racism is another issue that has long been driving the demand for behavioral health need resources in our community. But to COVID, providers have been able to adapt. One of the ways they've been able to adapt is through the use of telehealth. That has allowed them to continue to engage with clients, but then also expand access to their services throughout the community because people can connect with their provider from their home using their phone. So that is one of the other things that is probably a positive policy change thing and service delivery change that has happened as a result of COVID. And then the final thing that we did, and we've been doing this even before COVID, is promoting ways for that anybody can take care of their emotional health and wellness. There are things we can do in our everyday life to support our mental health. So we have partnered with the Baltimore City Health Department and the mayor's office to be promoting tips for how you can take care of your overall mental health and well-being.
That's great. And even with staff, you know, have you seen staff really, you know, need more support and you know, get more support with the work that they're doing? Because again, they're in the trenches every day with providing this access to services. Does that affect the staff the same way?
Oh yeah. I mean, I think our entire healthcare industry is feeling some burnout as a result of the pandemic.
Yeah, definitely for sure. So Baltimore City, as we recently heard in the news, is taking really another innovative approach to mental health by piloting the citywide 911 diversion program. And so, you know, is there any information that you can share a little bit about that, you know, what impact that might have in the city, you know, roles of mental health providers, how that will affect, you know, Baltimore City residents?
Yeah, so like you said, it's a pilot program. The 911 diversion program is taking certain types of behavior health calls that come to 911 and diverting them to the city's Here to Help hotline. So as we said, again, pilot, it's very small in its initial stage. The types of calls that are being diverted are suicide calls. So people who are calling experience suicidal ideation, those calls are being screened by 911. And if they meet that certain criteria, they're being transferred to the Here to Help hotline. All of this diversion pilot has all come out of the work the city has been doing to address the behavioral health findings in the consent decree. Their ultimate goal is to, you know, reduce police interaction with people who are having behavioral health crises. So diverting suicide calls to the Here to Help hotline is just a one step in that kind of broader effort to divert more calls that come to 911 to the Here to Help hotline. Just a little data point, the city's 911 call center gets over 13,000 behavioral health calls annually. So we're looking to try to divert as many of those as possible to our system of care. And that's why our partnership with law enforcement is so critical.
Yeah, I mean, that is definitely important, and just to make sure really the calls get to where they need to get to and those with the expertise are able to help support. How can individuals in the city, you know, easily access, you know, mental health services? Are there specific ways that can provide a quick access?
Yes. So the best way for people to access is the Here to Help hotline. And that is a 24/7 line that provides access to confidential advice and emotional support. And the number for the Here to Help hotline is 410-433-5175.
And so you said, again, it's 24 hours, 24/7 for anyone in the city?
Yes.
And so, you know, with all the great work that, you know, DHSB is doing, are there other ways that individuals can connect, learn more about all the work that you're doing, any particular social media or website sites that you can share?
Yes, definitely. People can learn more about us. They can follow us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at BHS Baltimore to keep updated on our work and resources. And then also you can go to our website. Our website is www.bhsbaltimorespelledout.org. And also we have a newsletter. So if you go to our website and go scroll to the bottom, it has a place for you to sign up for our newsletter as well.
That's good. And so, you know, just one other last question. So with you know, the mental health services, behavioral health services in Baltimore and the city, is there sort of, you had a, I guess, a magic wand to get, you know, for easy access or to ensure, you know, mental health services were provided in a certain way or accessible in a certain way? Is there, you know, anything specific that, you know, would be of great use of how, you know, folks can access or just what we think or would like to see mental health services go in the future?
I'll take a stab. One thing I'll say is that there actually be no one point where people has to access services, that mental health services are readily available and treated a lot like physical health, have that same type of accessibility.
And so now that's a great point that you mentioned that. And, you know, with all the work that you all are doing as far as coordinating those services, I mean, that's really the avenue that is going in the city, where it's more of a coordination. There's really no wrong door for someone to get help when they need it and where they need it. One last question, do you see any sort of disparities with the data that, you know, there is a particular age group that might be reaching out for help more than others? You know, is our younger age group, do they seek help in a different way? Do you think our older adult population, you know, are seeking help in different ways?
Yes, the short answer is yes. Youth and adults engage with the system differently. To piggyback on your last question about what else and what more we could do, I think we need to be doing a heck of a lot more to take care of our youth. And some of that starts at the grassroots level in community where people live and feel safe. But we need a lot more resources to help support the youth in our community, and not necessarily traditional, what we might think of as traditional behavioral health services like outpatient services. So that's why I say services that are in the community that meet youth where they are and provide the care in ways that youth want to engage.
That's great. And so I definitely want to thank the both of you again for coming on and joining
us. Thanks for having us.
Sharing the information. It was great. Definitely look forward to working with you all in the future, but definitely, you know, thank you. Appreciate the work you all are doing.
Thank you. And thank you for having us.
Thank you for listening and subscribing to What's the 211 podcast. We are here for you 24/7, 365 days a year, simply by calling 211. Also connect with us on Facebook and Twitter at 211 Maryland. Or at dragondigitalradio.podbean.com.
connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.